Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Tetvav, and we've got some more tremendously exciting Gemara today, and we got up to Omrim Nachman. Malachi actually is Mordechai. Interesting. Why was he called Malachi? Because he was a melech kind of guy, meaning he was part of the royal entourage. Haya mishneh lemelech. They made him a mishneh lemelech Achashverosh. So he's like a melech, malach. Meitvei is the Gemara that really doesn't make any sense, and it's impossible. Because it says like this in the Braita, that actually, Baruch ben Neriah, so we've been talking about all of these people of that were misnabe, and because we were getting into all of the other people throughout the generations and the different elements of Nevi'ah, so we'll see why this is so important to the story of the Megillah Bichlal. But in any event, another story about the Nevi'ah is that Baruch ben Neriah and Seraiah ben Machseiah and Daniel and Mordechai Bilshan, and Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi, whoops, they're obviously different people. All of these people were actually saying over the Nevi'ahs about the building of the Beis HaMikdash during the period of Daryovesh, that was the because that was the time where they were going to start rebuilding, the Daryovesh Hasheni. And therefore, they were all basically involved in that same tkufa. But the point is that Mordechai and Malachi can't be the same person if they're listed over here as separate Nevi'im. And in fact, Yufta, this shows that Reb Nachman was wrong. Tanya, Om Reb Yeshua ben Korcha, actually, Malachi could be Ezra, because we're talking about Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakotu, Torah, Vakesh Bipiu, and he was the one that was the mocker of Terah, so it's very possible that it's a reference, really, to another name for Ezra. As we've seen yesterday, we spoke about Divrei Hayomim and the concept of end names and the way that people are connected to different kufas in their lives and different achievements of what it is that they're doing by different names. So it could be that maybe that's what Malachi was, because it's a funny kind of name. The Chachamim say, I don't care if it's a funny name. It's his name. Malachi Shmo. I don't know why we're looking for another alternative to who Malachi is. Malachi is Malachi, okay? It's not somebody else. And Omer of Nachman, actually, it's Mistavr Kamadi Omer Malachi Ezra. I mean, if we take a look at the life work of Malachi, the things that he concentrated on and the things that Ezra concentrated on, it seems very likely that it's actually the same person that is being referred to in terms of the various tkufot of what he was doing. Because look, you take a look in Malachi, he's the one that makes the tremendous statement about the relationship of Jews to shiktzas. Bogda Yehuda, toivan estab Yisrael, b'Yerushalayim, ki chilel Yehuda, kodesh Hashem asher ahev, uba'al bat el nechar. So now this idea that having intercourse with a Goya is the equivalent of sleeping with the daughter of an alien god. I mean, that's an amazing insight. And that what you're talking about is a direct connection to something that is profoundly alien to you. That's Malachi's insight. And who is the one that dedicated himself to getting rid of those relationships? That was Ezra. Man afrish nashim nochriot. Ezra, right? Because what happens when Ezra comes up? He hears that there's been a tremendous amount of assimilation, calls everybody together, says to everyone what a disaster this is, and vayan shchanya ben yechiel bibnei elam, vayomer la Ezra, yes, anachnu ba'alnu ve'eloheinu, vanoshev nashim nochriot. We've done terrible things. We're going to get rid of these women and so on and so forth. And so apparently they really were involved in the same Aveda. Tana Rabbana. Arba nashim yefefiyot ayu ba'olam. There were four absolutely stunning women in this world. And that was Sora, Rachav, Avigail, and Esther. And what about if you hold that Esther was Yirak Roket Haitash. If she was Yirak Roket, we said the only reason she was beautiful was because Chut Shel Chesed was Marshuk Aleha. So, I mean, you can't call her fundamentally the beautiful woman in the world. Mefik Esther, Umayel Vashti. Take out Esther, put in Vashti instead. And then you've got the four beautiful women. Tana Rabbana, every one of these women was tremendously sexy in a different way. Rachav Bishma Zinta. You just mentioned the name Rachav and it would drive you crazy. Yael Bikola. The voice of Yael was enough to drive anybody nuts. Avigail was thinking about her. And Michal Bat Shaul was looking at her. And as a matter of fact, said Rav Yitzchak, if you say Rachav, Rachav, you'll immediately ejaculate. Miad Nikri. I'm a little bit like, come off it, man. I could say Rachav, Rachav all day long. Don't make no difference to me. So I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you're some kind of maniac. Am I like, what do you think I'm talking about? Just magic saying the word Rachav, Rachav? I'm talking about somebody that has actually had a relationship with her. Biodah, B'makira, Tosi says they actually slept together. That's Biodah. Over there, of course, the guy can get totally turned on. Is he remembering this experience? What, I'm talking about saying the name? So now, okay, this is like this wild story, right? And, okay, so the Noda Biyuda was sent this question of like, how are we supposed to understand the Gemara that's telling us about beautiful women? Why is the Gemara doing this? The typical Yeshiva Bacher's question, like, what's going on? Okay, so if you want to see how it is that people can get totally wrapped up in their standard approaches to things without seeing the broader picture, the Night of Yehuda writes him back. And the Night of Yehuda was quite an amazing man. The Night of Yehuda writes him back, listen, we can't really get to the bottom of these, you know, incredible midrashim, but, I mean, basically, the Chazal want us to know how dangerous beautiful women are, and you shouldn't look at women because, you know, you get turned on with this, turned on with that, and therefore, and also to let us know about the way that HaKadosh Baruch was Matzil as Yisrael by making such a beautiful woman like Esther, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's just, it's really frightening to see that kind of answer. It's like, that's the same issue that you find with, you know, all our problems come from cell phones. So basically, let us take a little bit of a perspective on this. This is an extremely important issue. It starts off at the very beginning of the way in which we've been discussing the psukim of the Megillah. Because it starts off with right? And that is immediately the Gemara's kash is, I don't understand him, but it certainly didn't take him all of that time to get high. But B'yom HaShvi'i meant, the Gemara says the strangest thing. It's meant as a contrast between the way Yisrael acts when they get high and the way that Goyim act when they get high. So the Goyim, they sit down, they get drunk, all they talk about is sex. Yisrael, when they sit down and get drunk, they talk about the Torah and Shirim, and so on and so forth. Now, that is not a small issue. Recognize the end of Masechet Ta'anit were the words, look for beauty, because women are only for beauty. Now, you're telling me that we're continuing over here has nothing to do with that. I mean, the entire thing we've seen is so deeply related. But more than that, let's take into consideration the fact that it's not just that this book is about Esther. This book is about women. This book is about the relationship of Ahasuerus to women overall. It's about beauty contests. It's about the difference of David HaMelech and Ahasuerus's relationship to women. It's about the story of Avigail and the story of Bathsheba. It's about the fundamental question of whether essentially relationship with woman is rape, because that's what in the end Gan Eden is about. Vuhuyim Sholbach. This Huyim Sholbach always has elements of rape because it means that the man is in charge. This, remember, was part, was almost the deepest problem of what it was. I'll take a look at what you, but it's always like that. The daf always defines the news. Ira just sent in an incredible article that was it's just about exactly this issue that was published. What was it, this morning? Or I can't hear you. You're muted. Anyway, but
that was the first time I saw it was this morning.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's amazing like that. But in examining the relationship of rape and the idea in Gan Eden of the Klola of Gan Eden, which is the Huyim Shobach, which is the destruction of mutuality in relationships, which becomes therefore a destruction really in the relationship that goes all the way back. We have to realize that this is an existential issue. It's not a sexual issue. It goes all the way back to the relationship of the sun and the moon. Because this was exactly the problem of ancient Malachim Mishtamshim Mekeser Echad, the inability of the moon to accept a state of mutuality in which there would be Shnei Me'orot HaGidolim, and in which we always relate to as women. That's always the idea. Rosh Chodesh becomes a special time of the schus for women. All of our tefillas are in terms of the restoration of Shelo Yeba Shum Miut. All of these issues of the pagam of mutual relationships are reflective in the end of the breakdown between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the relationship of women to the Egel and how that connects to Rosh Chodesh, which, what in the world is the connection? Oh, it's a very profound connection, you see. Because that whole problem with the Egel ended up becoming an expression of Vayitietzvut Tachti Tahar, which was the experience of being raped by the Memshola of HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of the mutuality of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This becomes the question here of the attempt of Ahasuerus to create a new level of Malchus that would be mutual, which therefore had to go hand in hand with the sexual revolution with Vashti, which broke down here, was taken over by Esther, which turned him into an incredible rapist, like the only one that the Torah defines, like this is his whole metzias, is that they're going to find every betulah in the country and he's going to rape every one of them. It's like beyond belief. Mamish beyond belief. And the end result of this is that the very compliant Esther, who is Lo Biksha Davar, who is the one that allows the Memshala over her, at the end of the story becomes insanely empowered to the point that he is reduced to a quivering, frightened nothing when Esther walks into the room, as we're going to see. And in the end, that's the Nes of Shushan Purim. So the inversion in the status of women, in which it begins in the ultimate Huyim Sholbach, and in the end she teaches him to learn how to love, and then the Malchus of Ahasuerus develops into something that can become a Beis HaMikdash, and that is expressive of a totally different relationship of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which El HaGadol HaGibor VaNoira becomes more expressed in less violent Memshala, is an unbelievable change. And talking about the nature of women as being beautiful, as opposed to being objects, is the whole point of the Megillah. So when you start off, you're saying, look at the way the Goyim are talking about them. Oh, the Madiot are beautiful. Oh, no, I've got a Parsi. She's my piece. She's better than anybody else. That incredible sense of turning a woman into the ultimate pornographic object. I just said that, Barnea, the piece that is mine. That's what I said. So, yeah, it's good to pay attention. So the idea, therefore, from the beginning is to be able to see the meaning of Yofi as real Yofi, and that was what came at the end of Ta'anit, that Tnu Einechem Yofi. Ira, you must get Tamar to go over the Daf Yomi, because there's a lot of stuff over here that she needs to incorporate, and there's no question that she would love it. So even though fundamental ideas she has, but there's like so many details. Anyway, but you see the difference between the cell phone is our problem and the vision of like the perspective of Torah. It's unbelievable. It's like, whoa, one means everything and the other means basically nothing. And it's so important to be careful not to forget. This is what the Rambam basically talks about, that the whole development of Yisrael and the growth that we have has to do with the way that we relate to Midrashei Chachamim. And he talks about the different dargas of how it's possible to relate to those Midrashim. And all of those generations refused to take Agadata seriously. And therefore it was like, okay, yeah, these moral lessons that are fit for fifth grade primers today. I mean, these are things that are embarrassing. So it's important to know that we live in a new world and to take advantage of that world, the most unbelievable giluyim that came to us only because of the fact that all of this time has passed, and that, as the Zohar says, there will come a time close to the time of Geula in which all of the Mayanot of Chochmah are open to everyone. Amazingly, that very point is Nogea today's Gemara, as we're going to see in the way that the Meshech Chochmah explains it, which is brilliant. Okay, so anyway, let's go fight. Mordechai yada et kol asher na'asa. And then Vayitzak tzaka gedola umara. So what was it that was the bitterness in that cry that expressed a level of bitterness that could make the difference, and that it would be mamish keneged everything that Esav was? Because remember, this was the tzaka gedola umara that Yaakov Avinu had been going to Esav. So what was it that he said? Rav amar. So he wanted to say something that would impact the political situation. And he said, look at this. Haman has gotten even more chutzpahdik than Achashverosh. And he seems to be stronger than him. This, of course, would cause Haman a lot of problems also. Where Shmuel says what he said was, that we can only say this as a euphemism, Gavar malka ila mi malka tata, meaning that the lower king, Achashverosh, has become stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what it looks like to us. What about Shmu HaGadol? V'tischalchal HaMalka Ma'od. Tischalchal means that she became hallowed out. So what is that? Omarav shepirsa nida. Means that she broke out with nidas from the shock of hearing that horrible gezera. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said that she needed to run to the bathroom. Shehutzchal nikavea. Vatikra Esther laHatach. Who is Hatach? Omar Rav, Hatach is Daniel. Why did they call him Hatach? Because Chatchuhu Migdulato. They had cut his position down. Because originally, remember, that he was one of the troika that ran the entire country. And it says this, Beferish, at the time of Koresh, at the time of Daryovesh, he was one of three that was in charge of the entire country. And now, all of a sudden, we don't find him in a position of any particular power. Nobody seems to know, like, why he's special. So the Meshech Chochmah says, why indeed Chatchu Migdulato? Because things had progressed to such a point that he was no big deal anymore. Because if you take a look at Daniel, was the only guy that was, he was mamish meiser nefesh to be mispalal three times a day, and they caught him, and he said he doesn't care, and he doesn't care about these gezeres. I mean, these are all tremendous chumras to put on yourself, right? But when they saw his darga of his limud haTorah and his dveikus to tefillah and so on and so forth, his commitment to Klal Yisrael, so they made him because of that very chashuv. This is the Meshech Chochmah, but now we're talking about this incredible change that is introduced with this gezerah, and that's why now we're being told that he's atzach, in which everybody was mispalel with their whole kayach. Everybody did tshuva. The simplest people were on the madriga that Daniel was on before, so now they cut him down because he's no longer so unique. That's very interesting. Anyway, that has to do with what we were talking about before. Shmuel says he's called atzach because of his chashivas. Shekol divrei malchut nechtachin al piv. Everything is defined by him in the government. Anyway, so she sends him a message, ladat mazeh v'yamazeh. What is this all about? Rav Yitzchak, what's this? Mazeh, al mazeh. Sholchal Hashem avru Yisrael al chamishachum sheter adichtiben mizeh umizeh k'tuvim. Could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us as being from all sides, completely distant from the Torah, but like the moment that the luchas were given, mizeh umizeh? So Mordechai says to Hatzach, tell Esther to go in there and to plead. So she's got to beg. And she said, no, you can't do that, because every idiot knows that if you walk in there without permission, you're just going to get killed. What's the point of my getting myself killed? That's stupid. And I'm not doing that. So it says, Vayagidu leMordechai et divrei Esther. They told Mordechai. What do you mean they told Mordechai? I thought that she had sent Hatach. And Mordechai had sent Hatach with a message of what to do. So then why isn't Hatach coming back and telling him that this is Esther's response? Mikan she'ein meshivin al hakalkala. This comes to tell us that you don't report back when it's bad news. So what does she say? She says, Leich knos et kol ha-yehudim asher lo kadot. And what's asher lo kadot? What do you mean, which is not kadot? Amr Baba asher lo kadot haya. This was the Pashta meaning, even though it's not the way Rashi explains it, but the Pashta's meaning, this is the way the other Mefarshim explained it, Shaloka Dat, meaning that now I'm going to be going against the Torah. We'll see in a moment why Rashi says what he says, namely, that this is not the way that every single day our relationships were defined entirely by Achashverosh. He called for me, and therefore, basically, I had a gun to my head if I didn't sleep with him. But now I'm the one who's initiating the relationship. And if I do that, so then that is keneged the din. Shebechol yom v'yom, it was different. Until now, ad achshav, it was ba'ones. And so if it was an ones, I did not become asura to Mordechai. The achshav beratzon, and now it's consensual, because I'm the one that is initiating our contact. V'chasher avadati avadati, and because of that, as I was lost, so I shall be lost, meaning, just like I'm lost from my father's house because they died, as we learned yesterday, at this point I lose everything that I had, which took their place, and that was Mordechai. That Mordechai, vahi omenet Adasa, he was both father and mother to Adasa. Now I am losing that as well. So now here, this is a fascinating issue. This becomes very nogea lahalacha, and actually is the source of a lot of halachic discussion and many tshuvas about what the halacha would be under certain circumstances. Anyway, so what happened over there was a tshuva that is brought mamish lahalacha, it's brought in the Beit Shmuel lahalacha, but its source is a tshuva of the Ma'arik. And the question over there was that there was this group of men and women who were traveling, and they were attacked by these Goyish muggers, and who had every intention of killing every last one of them and making off with everything that they had. And one of the wives of the people was very beautiful, and she seduced the head of the of these muggers, and she made out with him, and she got him to, you know, to take her side, and, you know, no, to have rachamim on the Jews, and so on and so forth. So they survived the incident, and then they wrote the Ma'arik with the question of, is she still allowed to her husband? Or is that considered to be a act of adultery? So she's now asura to her husband because she initiated these contacts. So the Ma'arik writes back that even though she did an amazing mitzvah and she was matzil everyone, and that was the right thing to do, but she's asura to her husband. Because we see from this Gemara exactly the same thing. We see that Esther went out to save all of Klal Yisrael, and that nonetheless, she says, Kasher avadati avadati. So here we mention the night of Yehuda, not so much L'Shevach before, now let's mention the night of Yehuda again, this time L'Shevach Godel. Okay, so the night of Yehuda has a very big discussion about the halachic ramifications. I mean, this is so nogel halacha. Rav Meisha has tshuvas. I mean, it's like every generation has these kind of tshuvas, as you can imagine. So now the question is, first of all, Tainas the Neid of Yehuda, he doesn't know what the Ma'arik is talking about. There's absolutely no heter to save people's lives by being over on Giloy Arayis. Where does that come from? There's no such din. Because, as we know, you're allowed, v'chai behem is m'chai of you, to live basically on any Avera except for three. And that is Avera Zara, Gilei Arayas, and Shvichas Domim. So if over here she's going to be using Giloy Arias as a source of survival based on her choice, so then she becomes Asura to her husband. That's Pashtus. Now, and he does not understand where he gets this story from. So therefore, why would she be Asura Labala? It should be, if we're talking over here, that there is an Aines, so then she's not Asura Labala. It says that the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And indeed, he says there's no reason to believe, I'm saying this all over because it includes all of the discussions and Tesis about other issues as well. There's no reason to believe that this is what the implications of the Gemara are, because in reality, you see, Tesis has Sakasha over here. What in the world is going on? If she's telling this to Mordecai and that she's going to be going in Kashalokadat, so Mordecai should say, okay, I'll give you a divorce. I'll give you a divorce, then you'll be unmarried, and then you won't become Asura to me. So what's the problem? The whole thing is crazy. So Tosfos says he didn't give her a divorce because divorcing her would require witnesses, and everybody would find out about it. And since this is a case in which no one can know, all you need is for one person to open up their fat mouths. So therefore, there was nothing that he could do. And if you let any person know, it doesn't matter that once one person knows, it's over, as you know. So therefore, there was nothing he could do. Now the Rajbah asks the obvious question on that, which is, you can give a divorce without witnesses if it's in your own handwriting. So why couldn't Mordechai give her a divorce? So the Kashas Choser to the beginning, right? So the Note of Yehuda says, oh, he could have given her a divorce, and he did give her a divorce. So then why does he say Kasher Avadati Avadati? Because he can never remarry her. Why not? Because you need witnesses to remarry. And since he can't use the witnesses, so now she can't get married to him. So she said, oh my God, I'll never be able to marry you again, right? So then, in which case, the Gemara has nothing to do with the Marik's question, because Esther was not married, and therefore there was no problem of Eishes Ish, and so on and so forth. Very, very cute. But in the event that, in fact, there would have needed this, what is the heter to be using sex, bichlal, as a way out? So he said, listen, that could be, I mean, the idea to bring a riot from the Gemara that a woman who's trying to save her husband's life or a band of people from robbers, well, I mean, where do you get that from? This is a unique situation in which Esther is going out to be matzelet all of Klal Yisrael, and that is something, maybe this Rav Kook has a whole discussion on this, like where indeed does that come from? Now, it's a completely different hanhaga because it's Nogea Klal Yisrael as a whole. But he suggests the same thing, and other Rishonim are also Meramis to it. And he says maybe this was Alpi Besdin HaGadol, and it was maybe even Alpi Ruach HaKedesh, that this is the way it's needed to be. And the Raya Gemura to that is that even if there would have been a nidnud of Isser and something tameh about it, you think that Ruach HaKadosh would have immediately been shaira that she could be Vatilbash Esther Malchut, and that she could go in there and so on, after the only way she gets in there is by doing an Isser? That's ridiculous. It's insane. Obviously, this was the mitzvah. Now, again, please note how deeply involved this is with the original discussion that we had at the beginning of the morning of the way the interrelationship with women becomes over here. Tosfos's point, that the entire thing is achieved, it has something to do with the recreation of the nature of sexual relations, in which the lack of an agenda, as it was originally in Har Sinai, as it was originally in Gan Eden, becomes a complete change in the nature of relationship, as the Rabbeinu Bachya points out when he discusses the way that Yaakov Avinu and the way that Leah deal with sex as if it's like, you know, it's just something that you talk about the way you talk about anything. He says that's exactly the point, because where there is no agenda of getting something out of it, it is not what people call sex at all. So bring me my wife so that, hurry up, I need to be able to sleep with her. What? You got a problem? You got some kind of hang up? Or I hired you out for the night. What? I thought women aren't supposed to talk like that. We're not talking about anything. So those inyanim are representative of a deep change in the potential nature of the relationship. But we'll see later on how important that was. But anyway, it turns out that this is a major question of la halacha, of how it is that you would be allowed to, we'll see later on about Yael as well, and that the relationship of Yael and Sisera, how she was allowed to use sex in that way, also we're going to be talking about. But clearly this is so important that Alma Sechet, I mean, it's incredible that the entire pattern should become invisible to people. So that, you know, today people have their kids play Queen Esther because they are simply unaware of the issues that it's all about. They would have their kids play Queen Esther if they had a healthy attitude about what's going on, and they would understand that that's exactly what they want their kids to know. But the last thing that they want their kids to know is what's really happening to Queen Esther. Good God, you're dressing up your kids in these Queen Esther outfits. It's like horrifying, no? Anyway, all right. So then it says, Vayavor Mordechai. What it was that he was over? Omar Rav, he was over. Yes, he was heavier. Yom Rishon Shel Pesach B'Ta'anit. He substituted a Tainis for the holiday of Pesach. Because remember that exactly on Pesach, this is where it was, because it was on the 13th that they announced the decision to kill all of the Jews. And then the next day was the first day of the Tainis. But Esther had said, we have to have 3 days of Tainis. And then as the Medrash says, that he said to her, but what's going to be with Pesach? And she says, well, if there aren't any Jews, there ain't going to be any Pesach. So maybe that's a very good idea, is forget about Pesach. So it was actually part of the whole idea. So he was over. Shmuel Amar, the Avar Arkuma de Maya. It's a reference to the topology of Shushan HaBirah. That Shushan HaBirah was a special area on one side of the river that was the capital and had only the royal buildings, which were still today beautiful. You could still see Dariovish's palace, as I'm sure Barnea would like to take us on a tour one of these days. And on the other side, that was where, you know, the people lived. It's sort of like in Brasilia, you know, so you could have the slums on the outside. But there was, he went over our Kumbh de Maya to get the Jews together. That's the simple meaning. What do you mean she wore malchut? It should say she put on her clothing of malchut, no? Omar Reb Elazar, Omar Reb Chanin, no. It means she wore malchut, meaning that she could, there we go, we have a beautiful picture of Barbanea showing us of Daryavesh's palace in Shushan. Beautiful, beautiful, a little bit bigger, you know? Okay, closer, beautiful. Okay, it's just incredible that we could sit in Sancheriv's living room, we could sit in Nebuchadnezzar's city and enter his gates, we could sit in Daryovish's throne room and look at the things that he was looking at. It's like, wowie! And it's all handed over to us on a silver platter. So indeed it means, says the Gemara, that she was able to just put it on. Because Ruach HaKodesh is called a levush over a person. Where do we see that? And that's where he gave the brocha to David HaMelech and Lechad, David and Ben Yishai, and he should be Mevurach and so on. And because of that, he became the Rosh HaShalishim. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Chanina, La'olam al tehi birkat hedyot kala be'inecha. This, by the way, is a continuation, not just because it's Reb Elazar b'shem Rabbi Chanina, but the Vatilbashet Amasai was also an incredible bracha that was being given to David. And so Reb Elazar Omar Rabbi Chanina again says that you should know a bracha from anybody is extremely valuable. Because take a look at Gedolei Ador, that very normal people gave them a bracha, not Choshva royalty, and it was Niskaima Bam, David and Daniel, which they Gedolei Ador. David, Aravna Yavusi, gives him a bracha. And it says over there, Vayomer Aravna El HaMelech, Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha, and sure enough, It says right afterwards, Vayeater Hashem la'aretz, Vateyatzar Megivah, was the whole story, when he had gone there to buy the Mokom HaMizbeach. So that was the bracha of Aravna, and Daniel, Daryovish, gave him a bracha. And Daryovish said to him, don't worry about anything, nothing's going to happen to you. Elohak di'an polach le'betadira, hu yishez vinach, the God that you work for at all times, he is going to save you from the lions. And he did. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Alti kilalatet yot kalabei nachud. If somebody curses you, don't think that's a small thing, even though they are nothing but a hedyot. Because we find Avimelech, who was Mekalel at Sarat, even though he's a melech, but in terms of the Madrega of Sarat, he's a hedyot. And he said, Ineyu lach sut enayim, which we darshan, that means that kishem shechisit et enay, you covered my eyes and put me through this embarrassment and this pain. So too, you should have a child whose eyes are covered, meaning who is blind. And that's actually what happened. When his kaim bizara, shenemar, vayhi ki zaken yitzchak vatichena enaf. Furthermore, from Rabbi Elazar, b'shem Rabbi Chanina, v'yomar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, bo reshul ki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'adam. Midat basar v'adam, first the person puts down a pot, and then he fills the pot up with the water on the fire. He's not going to fill up the pot and have schlep it out and then bring it out. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts first the water. We need the water. Then the question is, what are we going to do with the water? How are we going to handle the water? First we find Kadosh Baruch Hu puts the mayim in the shamayim, and then the end of the pasuk is Vayale nisiim. Then he brings out the clouds to hold the water, to spread the water, and so on and so forth. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the Me'ah Shiloach who explains, and I wish Naftali would get those lenses. Maybe Gavi could actually call in and just order them from him, because I guess it's in Cape Town, it's hard to get any of those special Gavi lenses. But anyway, so he explains a beautiful explanation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities is the tachlis of the thing, okay? I'm into, like, whatever it is needs to be done, and this is what the Adam has to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't worry about exactly how it's going to all be set. You go out, you do your mitzvahs, you do what needs to be done, you do your chesed. Later on, the kelim will appear that are necessary to utilize all of that. But if you've got to get everything worked out in the beginning, you're never going to end up doing anything that's not your own agenda. And that's the whole point of the Na'aseh V'Nishma, is the jumping in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always jumps in. We need water. Ooh, what do we do with the water? We'll worry about that later. How we get the water around? We'll make the kelim. But we need the water first. Okay, so this is the way that people actually do the most insane things for Torah. We need a school. How are we going to have a school? I don't know. Just, we need the school. Let's open the school. Then we'll worry about finding the building. Then we'll worry about finding the funds. And so this is like the common way that things are done, right? That's it. Yeah. I drove people crazy. I hired the principal before the school existed. And they come move out 5,000 miles away. And where's the school? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? It's only a week till school opens. So don't worry, we'll find the school. And there was mamash nothing around. Remember, Mo? We ended up finding Intel. Intel, of all places, was just beginning. And they had a free office in the building of Intel. So we took that and turned it into the school. Absolutely nutso. Anyway, but that's the way you got to do things. So then you put in the water. Another mimer of Rabbi Elazar b'shem Rabbi Chanina is that kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro mevigu ula l'olam. Shenemar v'atomer Esther l'melech b'shem Mordechai. Now I'm sure that you all know that because people include it in the saying over the Pirkei Avos. So they say over the sixth parak, even though there is no sixth parak in Pirkei Avos. But the sixth parak is a collection of brises, and there it mentions that. So because of that, here we're bringing it b'shem Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Chanina. Now, this is one of the most confusing ma'amorim to people. I mean, it happens to be that the geula came because of the fact that Ahasuerus, in the end, needed to reward Mordechai, and that started the whole thing with Haman. So because of that, you're going to tell me that Gula Omer Dover B'Shem Omro Mevi Gula La'olam? That's crazy. This was like a unique one-time event, and therefore somebody should quote a Dvar Halacha from somebody else because it's going to be Mevi Gula La'olam. I mean, come on. What is that supposed to mean? Rabbi, it means an incredible thing. And it means exactly what it says, as all midrashim mean, exactly what they say. And that's what you learn only after many, many years of dismissing things. Okay. So the point over here is the nature of geula and the difference between saying something or something being said. Listen, could Mordechai not have done this himself? I mean, we see that the Melech spoke to Mordechai, Vayikra l'chachamim yodei hayitim. And then he went to discuss with Mordechai, what do we do about these women? Make the Yikabetz Bitulot Shenit. We just had that yesterday. You're telling me the Hatach couldn't have brought this to the attention? And I mean, like, what do you mean, Vatomer Esther Lamalach B'Shem Mordechai? So the point over here is, and think about how real this is to you. It's not some weird medrash. In order to be able to infiltrate an idea into the nature of things, you never say it yourself directly. If you say it yourself, then it basically has something to do with you. It's between you and that person. If Esther says over something that she has heard from someone that cares about Ahasuerus, then the whole idea is, wow, there's things going on in the world that have people caring about me, which in the end is exactly what happens when he says, is there nobody who cares about me? That's what happens. We'll see later on in the daf. So when you report something like that, what you do is you create a beneath the surface, a subliminal awareness of issues that are going on. And this is true even in Divrei Torah. If somebody tells you a Divrei Torah, you will often not remember it. If somebody quotes you a Dvar Torah, then it's as if he's bringing things from the context of reality. Yes, they say, and this is from the so-and-so Rebbe who isn't here today, and so on and so forth, right? So the impact of it is an impact of geula, because that's what geula means. Geula means that things tend to find their place in the structure of reality instead of being limited to the experiences of one individual or another or particular relationships. And the fact that the whole story happened like this means that initially there was an understanding of Mordechai and Esther that this is the way to achieve real things in the world as opposed to my going and talking about it. And imagine, in fact, if Mordechai had gone and spoken about it, then Ahasuerus would have rewarded him with something or other. Thank you very much for your information, sir. We wish to reward you with the honorary badge and a $1 million, whatever, that would have been the end of it. Over here, it completely defined everything that would happen afterwards as if it's part of what the world is about. It's really quite, interesting. All right. Interesting. Wow. Beautiful. Jeff is really amazingly on target. Fantastic. Okay, good. All to be discussed. Make sure, Ira, that Tamar is in. She should be here. So what about school? So what about simple things like breakfast? So what about taking care of a household? Where the heck is Tamar? Anyway, so this is the B'Shem Mordechai. V'yomer Rebbe Elazar Amar Rebbe Chanina. You should know that when a tzaddik is lost, we say the tzaddik is avad. He isn't lost, I guarantee you. It's the generation that's lost without him. So like if you lose a diamond ring, the diamond ring isn't lost. The diamond ring is still the same diamond ring it always was. It's just you don't have it anymore. And that's exactly the point. Moshel Adam Shavdolo Margalit. Koma kom shehi margalit shema. Wherever she is, that's what she is. Lo avdala labala. Anyway, so now Haman says, V'chol zen en oshoveli, none of this is worth anything to me. Amr Abelazar, Amr Bechanina. Well, what is this? I mean, like, how in the world could Haman be so totally devastated just by the fact that Mordechai refuses to acknowledge him. Said Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Hanina, because b'sha'ash ra'ah hamanet Mordechai yoshev b'shar ha'melech, amar kol ze ineno shaveli ked Rav Chisda. The Omer of Chisda, you have to know the background of the relationship of ish ve'ish. Remember, this whole thing was about ish ve'ish? Well, believe it or not, Haman and Mordechai are not only together in the Seuda. Haman and Mordechai are old army buddies. Yep. Are they old army buddies? So basically, they were both in charge of military campaigns by the government. Haman utilized the funds that were given to him that he was supposed to be utilizing for the army affairs. And he actually misused those funds, thinking that he had a very beautiful Ponzi scheme, which didn't work, which often happens. And there he was caught short right at the moment that the government was going to find out about it. This is very serious. This is death. So anyway, he goes to Mordechai and he tells him, listen, you know, I've got to be able to supply food to the army. I don't have any money. Okay, says Mordechai, no problem. Happy to help you out. All I need, of course, is a signed document that you make yourself my eved for any future usage. Your servant? Yeah, just officially, you know. So he signs this document that I, Haman, do hereby sell myself to Mordechai and so on. Anyway, so whenever Haman would walk by, so Mordechai had this document actually engraved on the bottom of the soles of his shoe. And he would sit back and he would put up his shoe and he would wave the shoe as Haman walked by. And that drove him absolutely nuts because Zeba Bipruzbuli. So Mordechai was coming with his contract of owning everything. And Haman is coming, Bipruzbuti. Bruzbuti means from a position of utter poverty, in which everything you own is owned by somebody else. Omer of Papa, and everybody that saw this used to call Haman Avda de Mizdabin Batalmi, the guy who had to sell his life for loaves of bread for the army. The chol zeh eneno shoveli. What is the zeh? But zeh means you're pointing to something. What are you pointing to? This means that Haman carried around a complete record of everything that he owned on his cell phone. It was completely there in Excel, and he would sit there reading through this Excel pages all the time, and then he would walk by, he would point to his Excel page and say, oh God, it's worth nothing. Just goes to show you how Haman becomes a paradigm for a life of kol zeh. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, amar Rabbi Hanina, Atira Kadosh Baruch Hu liot atara v'rosh kol tzadik v'tzadik shenemar v'yom ahu yiyah Hashem tzvakot v'hateret tzvi l'tzvi tifara l'tzvira tifara. So what is all of this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a crown on the tzadikim. And it says, on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be like a crown of beauty and also a tzvira tifara. A tzvira is also a kind of crown, except it's more of a decorative kind of thing. Also of beauty. Tzvi is more rotzan, something that people desire. So what does this mean? Ateret tzvi, lo'otzin tzivyono, those who do like eretz tzvi. Those who do the tzivyon, the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those who are tzifirat mitzapim vidarshan, and who are awaiting the tifora of the coming of Mashiach, you might think anybody who does that, yochel hakol, Talmud Lomar, no. Not if you're stuck up. Only lishar amo, lemisha meisim atzmo kishirayim, you have to turn yourself into remnants, in which you don't take your own agenda seriously. Ulruach mishpat, who are these people? Zadan et Yitzro, somebody who takes his Yitzro and puts it through hell and does teshuva, and he has to be done his Yitzro. Yoshev al Mishpat, Zadan din emet lamito. That's somebody who sits there working it out, even though he's got an easy way out and he can rely on the witness. No, he doesn't take the easy way out. He looks into only the emes. Ligvura, that's somebody who's mizgabra al Yitzro in the first place. It doesn't go into an avera. Meshivei milchama. Those are people that are fighting milchamta shel Torah. And who are Meshivei Milchama Sha'aram, which is the end of the pasuk? To the gates. Those are the Talmidei Chachamim who unlock and lock the gates at the morning and lock up in the evening. Mashkimim u'ma'arimim b'batei knesiot u'b'batei nidrashot. So nonetheless, continues the Midas HaDin, Amra midat HaDin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who cares? Ribono shel Olam. Manishtanu be'elu le'elu. What difference is there? How come only these special people? They're all no good. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you talking about? Yisrael, they're Oskei B'Torah, and all of these Umais lo Oskei B'Torah. You don't think that should make a difference? Amalei said Midas HaDin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what? Gamela b'yayin shogu b'sheichar to'u. And here we get back to Avigail's F-word. Pokufalilia. They're all completely effed up. Meaning this is Gehenim. And poku el Gehenim is, again, as Lewis Thomas points out, that word poku is a reference to utter horror and hell itself. Shelema, velot yezot lechalafuka. Exactly. We bring the riot from Avigail herself. And ein pulilia el adayanim. Shinema v'natan biflilim. So that means this is the din, minas ha-din, ustaining. It's not enough just to be Jewish, because gam elu end up in Gehenna. V'tamod b'chatzar ha-melech ha-pnimi. There was Esther standing in the court, Omer Rabbi Levi. Why is this the way in which she responds in the Mizmor that's all about Esther? Ayelat ha-shachar, Eli, Eli, lama azaftani. Why is that Esther? Because there she was. Higia lebeit ha-tzilamim, nistalka imena shechina. And she says, Eli, Eli, lama azaftani, shema tadana, shoga kemezid ve'alonis kerotzon. Perhaps you see this as if I did something the mazid wrong. Maybe you consider an ones, it's as if you put your heart into it and you did it with your full willing intent. Now, Rabotzai, this is a bit of a problem. Because the difference between the nature of ones and shogeg is halachically defined. Again, this is Nogea, the Tshuvas Amarik, and the Meir Behuda that we spoke about before, and the Beit Shmuel we spoke about before. The question is this. If somebody puts a gun to your head and says to you to be Oved Avodah Zarah, are you allowed to be Oved Avodah Zarah? No. If you went and you were Oved Avodah Zarah, would you be Chayev? No. Why? Because it's an ones. The guy had a gun to your head. So it's an ones. Now, let's take another case. Suppose you are desperately ill. You've been bitten by something in which you have exactly 3 minutes to get the antidote. And the doctor says, either you bow down to Avodah Zarah and I give you the antidote, or you're dead. Are you chayev if you bow down to Avodah Zarah? Yes. Why? Because there it was your choice. In other words, if somebody takes over your mind, then it's one thing. So it's as if you're being physically coerced into something. Over here, you are choosing the way out of something that's there. Choosing the way out is not called ones. It's a choice. And therefore, that should be exactly the problem that the Notab Yud is pointing out. It's not ones. And therefore, what would be the heter to utilize an iser for saving yourself? Here she's calling it an ones. Now, it's possible that the implications are that the loss of the entire Yisrael, and note that this is the eich, when she says later, how am I supposed to survive be'ovdan ami? That may have halachic implications, which we'll talk about later, as if she has a gun to her head, you see. In which case it would be a case of an ones. But then she wouldn't be asura, exactly as he's pointing out. Okay, anyway, things to think about, Rabosai. Important things to think about. Now, so, Oshemo, or she realizes, but wait, I made a serious mistake. I called him a dog, Achashverosh, because I said, Hatzila mi cherev nafshi, miyat kelev yechidati, save me from this dog. So she immediately turned around and called him a lion. Shinema Hoshieni Mipi Arye. And that's when she was given Ruach HaKadosh back. That too is an amazing lesson. nothing that is central to your life and is part of what you are working on, no matter how ugly it appears to you and how much you wish it weren't there, nothing is a dog. It's your life. It's the lion of your life. And go for it and do what needs to be done.
Is that example Rebbe was talking about before of...
Moshe, sorry, it's too late. Vayikir ota melech et Esther ha-malkah. But yes, it does have to do with it. Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Shlosha malachei ha-sharet nizdamnu la bota sha'a. How could she be motzeit chen beinav when she's been fasting for 3 days? Is obviously a wreck. What in the world does it mean that he saw her? I'm like, wow. What was the wow? There were three malachei ha-sharet there. One raised up her neck when she was bent over like an old lady. A special chutzal chesed that needed to make up for what she had state was she was in. The other one stretched out the scepter. And how far did he stretch out the scepter? Well, that comes from this week's parsha, because this is stretching out the hand of Bitya Bas Paro. Vikama. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, his scepter was originally 2 amot, and the magic turned it into 12. Some say into 16. Some say into 24. In the bright, it says into 60. You find the same machlokas by the Amma of Bat Paro, and you find the same machlokas about the teeth of Og Melech HaBashan, who had picked up this island to drop it on the Jews and wipe them all out. And then he got the bugs eating out the middle. It fell over his head. And then he couldn't lift it off of his head. This is a beautiful children's book, right? A giant with the mountain in it. All right. So the teeth extend outward. He's trying to pull the mountain up, and the teeth are growing into the mountain. He can't get the mountain off of his head. How long did those teeth grow? Semach Locus, the Maral, has got this brilliant mathematical analysis about whether the extension has to be an inverse square law as it goes back in. And because it's not extending only into one place. It has to be an extension. So he analyzes, what would it mean? Would it be a square? Would it be a cube? Because we're talking about, it's like fascinating analysis of the whole sugya. Anyway, so this is all Shinei Rishayim Shibarta, and as Rish Lakish says, it's not that you broke the Shinei Rishayim, it's that you were Rishri Bavta, you caused them to grow out, extending them into the mountain here too. Rabba Bar Ofran, Omer Mishum Rabba Lazar, Sheshama Mirabo, Vimirabo, Mirabo, was 200 amas it stretched. Vayom Elah Melech, Malach Esther HaMalkah, Uma Bakashatech, At Chatzi HaMalchut, Vetea, what's Chatzi HaMalchut? Because he's saying, listen, I'll give you everything, but I can't give you over the Malchut, and I can't give you over something which is the equivalent of giving you the Malchut, because it's going to smash the country into pieces. Lo davar shechotzeitz ha-Malchut. Umay niu, that's the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That would be, and of course, that was the centerpiece of the whole discussion. So Esther says to Achashverosh, Yavoa melech v'haman el ha-mishteh al-shelom, and so on, Tana Rabbanan. Why? Ma ra'ata Esther shezimna et haman? It's Rebbe Eliezer Omer. The way that they eat becomes their trap. This is actually what was the always. That is something for Rishayim. That's when they get complacent. They start feeling that everything is good. Ah, nice. They get mellow. That's when they can be hit. Rabbi Yoshua Aimer. She learned this from her own father's house, because she used to hear kids coming in there saying, Imra ev sona acha achileo lechem. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread. Ki gichalim atach hotel roshov Hashem yishalem lach. You're basically pouring coals on his head. Rabbi Meir, Aimer, kidei shelo yitol etzav imrod. She needed to keep Haman busy, because meanwhile, he's on the ascendant, and that's all that she needs, is that he's able to take over the government. And then she won't have any way out. Rabbi Yudaimer, Kedei Shelo Yakiru Bashi Yehudiya. Look, the timing is awful. They just published this edict against the Jews. He's been wanting to find out who she was. It never occurred to him that she's Jewish. All of a sudden, she's coming in. And he is awfully, awfully suspicious, remember, right? And it was only like this. It would obviously add up. Wait a minute. That's not a coincidence. So she's a Jewish mole. Aha. So therefore, she had to go out of her way to show a Jewish mole inviting Haman. Get out of here. That's like having Hitler at the Suda. Couldn't be Jewish. Perfect. So the Reb Nechemya Omer, Kedei Shalo Yomru Yisrael Achot Yesh Lanu Bebeit HaMelech. Listen, we've got protection. Everything's going to be okay. V'yasichu Da'atan Min HaRachamim. They need to see her playing up to Hitler. Reb Yosi Omer, Kedei Shei Matzri La Bechol Eich. He needed to be available to her because that way she could do something that would be just perfect to mess him up at that moment, like falling on the bed when he falls on afterwards. Reb Shimon Ben Menasseh Omer, Ulay argish hamakom v'yaseh lanu nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that I have to play up to this. What a bizoyan for someone like me that this is my life, that I have to go to make parties with these pigs, slobs. This is also a beautiful, beautiful point. Also, my Rebbe used to bring this up. He said, look, you want to take a look. This is after all of the tainiyos, after all of the tefillos, after Ruach HaKadosh is melabeshet, after all of the achanais of Mordechai prepared in advance, going up years before and so on. But the one thing that she feels is going to end up working is to break her own covet and to feel that she has been reduced. That's absolutely central. This also relates to what Mo Willie was bringing up a moment ago. The loss of all agenda. You're a nothing. You're basically nothing but cannon fodder for this whole story. Or as David White puts it, compost for the future. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korach Omer, Asbir lo panim, listen, let me show that Haman and I have something going between us. That way he'll kill both of us, suspecting us of cheating on him. Rabbi Gamliel says, listen, even if I get him to agree to wipe out Haman, this guy, if you give him 2 minutes to think about something, somebody else gets through to him and now he's going to do something else. He's a melech hafach fachanaya. I've got to have the guy right there so at the right minute, pow, we get him on the spot. Omer Rabbi Gamliel, gentlemen, to try to get to the bottom of a Haggadah without speaking to Rabbi Lozer Hamadoi is a very big mistake. Gavi, do you go visit Rabbi Lozer Hamadoi? You know where his Mara is? Okay, every time I go in there, I always say, Adayin Tzrichim Anu L'modoi. I think it's such a beautiful thing to say. Anyway, so we still need Rebbe Lozer HaMadoi. The Tani Rebbe Lozer HaMadoi Omer, Ki na'ato b'melach, Ki na'ato b'sarim. Basically, by giving him that special attention, oh boy, that is getting everybody nervous and wanting to find whatever they can to make sure that this upstart doesn't go too far. Rabbi Omar, listen, there's a general principle. Lifnei shever ga'on. As they say, pride comes before the fall. And that's exactly it. She wants to make him proud. We learn this out from what happened to Belshazzar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Yirmiyahu, while they are hot, they're coming back from the war. They're fighting against Belshazzar. I mean, Belshazzar is fighting against Daryavish and against Koresh, or attempting to take over the country. I'll get them drunk, v'yishkartim, l'man ya'alozu, let them be happy and have one good night, and then sleep forever, v'yashnu shenat olam, and never awake. V'lo yakitzu ne'um Hashem. So, she wanted to redo exactly that. Anyway, Rabbi Bar Avuha bumps into Eliyahu that morning, and says to him, listen, you know, so what was she thinking? Keman chazya Esther v'avdahachi. Oh, he says, little boy, you really think you've gotten to the bottom of Esther? Every last one of those things are all things that she just started taking into consideration. You got a lot to learn, man. Kekulo tanoi, kekulo amaroi. You're going to tell me what Esther was thinking. But the beauty of this is how much it shows the lack of planning. How much it shows the openness to whatever can be and the taking advantage of opportunity. So in understanding all of these tactics or strategies, you're actually opening your mind up to the possibilities. And that's what Purim is all about. Mikra and possibilities. So it's absolutely ingenious, this whole piece. He was telling over the family when he came home about what's going on in this Mordechai and how awful he is. And how many are these Rov Banav? Says Rav, I'll tell you what Rov is. He had 30 sons. 10 of them died. 10 of them were hung up with the hanging of Haman. And 10 of them were reduced to such poverty that they had to go knocking on doors to eat. Rabbanan Amre? No, the ones that were knocking on the doors. There were 70 of those. As it says in the Pasuk, Siveim Balechem Niskaru. The ones that were now had to hire themselves out just to eat. Those were the children of Haman, as the Targum says. Al Tikri Siveim, the ones who had been full of food. Ela Shivim, there were 70 of them. And Rami Bar Abba says, look, it's a gematria. There were a total of 208 sons, because it says Verov Banav, and Verov Banav is 208. Hey, don't you know how to count? Verov Begematria is 214. Says Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, there's no Vav in the Rov. It says Verov Banav, so it's 208. Pay attention. Anyway, Balai Lahu. What this means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sleep was being disturbed. And there it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed, where do we see such a thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sleeps? Yes. Exactly. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakens Kevayachol to take revenge for Klal Yisrael, it's as if his hidden face was sleeping. Everything was in a state of chaos. The malachim, the people on earth. Rava Amar, no, it means what it says, for heaven's sakes. The king, Achashverosh, was going insane. Nafla lay milta bedaita. Something was driving him crazy. He's thinking to himself, what the heck? My de command doesn't mean they Esther Haman. Why did she invite him? Why did she invite him? There must be plotting against me. So obviously, the first time where she did not mention Haman as the being the reason for the party, she said, I want to invite him to the party. But at the second party, she said, may the king and Haman come to the party that I'm making Lahem. Oh. So things are different than I thought. Now this is what was necessary for his paranoia. So now he can't sleep the entire night. He's twisting and turning. But then he says to himself, there's got to be somebody who cares about me. Well, of course. He remembers there's somebody that cares about him. Well, there always was. Vatomer Esther LaMelech B'Shem Mordechai, which given the sense, there's people who care. And they would tell me, but wait, maybe I never indicated that I appreciated the fact that they cared about me. So, and therefore people, they figure, he doesn't give a hang. Why should we care about him? He immediately calls for the Divrei Hayamim, in which he's going to discover who it was that cared about him for the first time. And now he's going to respond just at the right moment. And behold, there they were, being read. What do you mean, being read? Melamed shenikra imei aleihem. This was audible books. Vayimatzei katuv, and he finds it written. What do you mean, vayimatzei katuv? It finds it being written? It should say vayimatzei katav. He found a writing that said, no, because melamed, it was actually being written. There was Shimshai, who was the Sofra Melech, who Rashi says is actually, not here, but in Ezra, Rashi says is actually one of the sons of Haman that was busy trying to get the Beis HaMikdash not built. And he keeps erasing this piece. And the moment that he gets to the next piece, it rewrites itself. He can't get rid of it. What does that say? Asked the king. Vegavriel Kotev.